Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I'm your host, Belinda, and today we've got a great show in store for you. I have my guest, Robert Farrington, with me, who is the founder of The College Investor. He started this website as a side hustle over a decade ago while working as a Target store manager, and it has since grown into one of the largest personal finance websites. It is my pleasure to welcome Robert Farrington to our show today.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. So let's just dive right into it. Tell us a little bit more about yourself. Tell us a little bit about the journey. And what is it exactly that you're doing to help folks today?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I'm married. I have two kids. And I have been passionate about side hustling and earning more money since as long as I can remember. Honestly, when I was a teenager, I remember in middle school, I was selling candy bars out of my backpack. I used to sell things on eBay. And I've just always just had a passion for earning more, finding ways to make money. And that's just kind of been my thing. And so when I was in college, I really found this intersection of personal finance, earning more, investing, and I was reading other people creating blogs about these topics on the internet. And of course, you know, being a college student, I was like, you know, I can do this too, right? And so I started The College Investor when I was finishing up college, and I really was just using it as a platform to share my random thoughts on investing in personal finance. And, you know, I don't know who would have thought to read a college student's random thoughts on these things. But hey, you know, I got started. I kept at it. I always just enjoyed it. I liked the technology. I liked putting it together. I liked, you know, sharing my ideas. And I just continued to keep doing it. And it continued to grow and grow and resonate with people. And, you know, here we are today. We've, you know, really created something that's a massive, you know, project here in the personal finance space.
That's awesome. So I know that you do now help a lot of college students themselves. So can you give us a little bit more insight into that as well?
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, we're definitely a financial publisher, and we've grown into one of the largest personal finance websites. Our focus is really around helping people get out of student loan debt so that they can start investing and building wealth for the future. So we do talk a lot about paying for college and being smart about your money in college, but most of the people we help are, you know, post-grads all the way up to early retirement. Sadly, I mean, the number of people that are approaching retirement or in early retirement dealing with their student loans has just exploded over the last few years. So our bread and butter is helping people navigate it because student loans aren't easy. They seem pretty straightforward, right? But there are hundreds of options for dealing with your student loan debt. The system is confusing. The loan servicers aren't in your favor. And, you know, it's a struggle.
Wow, that seems amazing that people would be looking at retirement and still dealing with student loan. That's incredible.
It's sad, but yes.
Wow, that's a newsflash for me. I just guess I hadn't realized that, but so I'm glad that you're able to help people navigate this. I think it's important too that as kids are acquiring this debt, I think sometimes they think of it as just free money. I've talked to other kids, well, I'll just go get a student loan for that, and I'm like, well, then you're gonna have to pay that back, and it'll be like this. And there's not a lot of thought in paying it back as they're acquiring it. That's the one thing that I've observed with this age bracket of kids.
It's that, and it's also, you know, they don't understand how it works, how the paybacks work, and it's confusing. But, mm-hmm. you know, the other thing is like, we have the, you know, I'm big on, like, the psychology of money. And so the way this whole system is set up for a 17-year-old, 18-year-old, it really, like, plays against their psychology. Because you have to realize, first, schools don't even call them student loans. They say, here's your financial aid award. So you think you've won, like, some kind of prize, or this is some kind of, like, scholarship or something. And that's where you actually get get your student loan is you accept a financial aid award. And it starts there, and they make it super easy online. You click a couple buttons. No one reads the terms and conditions of anything these days, right? We're so used to scrolling to the bottom, hitting I accept, and boom, you're done. And when you're 17 years old, you're like, I accepted my financial aid award. I'm enrolled in my classes. I'm good to go. And there's no other thought, no other kind of complications around getting student loans. And as a result, it really is at the back of their mind. They don't necessarily understand all the implications of it, how it works. Sometimes not even what the dollar amount is. It's kind of scary.
Absolutely. I can't relate to this personally, but I can just from the conversations I've had with college age students, and that is totally their mindset behind it and really oblivious. And I can totally understand what you're saying. They click to the bottom, say accept, and they don't even really understand what they just got themselves into.
Right. And, but you know what? It's also hard because here we are, we're talking to a young person that has hopes, dreams, aspirations. They also probably have some family pressures to like go to college and, you know, get a good job. And, you know, this whole like construct we have as a society, right?
Yep.
And you put all that together on this young kid that thinks they're just doing the best that they're supposed to be doing. And it's just, it's very hard conversation because, you know, the math is the math. And it's very straightforward, but it's all that psychology and family pressure and tradition and everything else that makes it very challenging.
Absolutely. And you're able to help kids with this?
Yeah. So we talk about it a lot. We navigate through it. I talk about it. And I hope to make an impression on at least a few to make smarter decisions about where they're going to school and how much they're spending.
Great. Well, tell us then, how has the business shaped your lifestyle? Because obviously this started out as a side hustle. Now I'm guessing it's your full-time job. Maybe not, but and how has that affected sort of your day-to-day living and your lifestyle choices today?
Yeah, definitely. So it did start as a side hustle, and I did this as a side hustle for about 8 years. So I was working full time and doing this on nights and weekends. And at that point in time, the lifestyle was still pretty good. I mean, I would sit on the couch next to my wife. She'd be watching Real Housewives of somewhere, and I would be on my laptop writing a blog article and, you know, doing that kind of thing. And so that worked. And then we started having kids, and it became a big challenge, right? So having a day job that took 40 to 50 hours a week, and then the side hustle at nights and weekends, and then children really did put some strain on some things. But at that point in time, the business had grown to a point where it was earning more than it was in my day job. And so I had to ask myself, you know, one of the things that I kind of live by is show me your money and show me your time, and I will show you what you value. And I had to really like have my own reality check on that one, because like the money wasn't an issue anymore, and at least in terms of which one I chose. And then my time, though, it was like, if I say I value spending time with my family, if I say that I want to be there for my children, but I'm doing this, am I really doing what I value? And so I did finally make the hard choice to leave my day job. I really enjoyed working at Target as a store manager. I'd done it for so long, I was very comfortable. And then you have all those like safety nets of like a 401k and health insurance. And so it was a very big decision, honestly. But I'm very glad I did. And so today, I've been out of my day job now for a little over 2 years. And it's been great. I'm there for my kids. We have a great routine where I get up, we take the kids to school. I work when the kids are at school, pretty much done by the time we pick them up, you know, barring any unforeseen things. And yeah, it's really built a business around our lifestyle. And so I still work a little bit at nights because it's hard. It's like a hobby. I'm like, I love doing what I do, but I also love being present with my family. And that's one of the most important things for me.
That's awesome. And I think it's good for people listening to this that sometimes get a great idea and they feel like it's an all or nothing. And like, and I don't know if I want to risk this to try this. And I find more times than not, people that have had really great success, I mean, they had to work, they worked two jobs while they were building it. You know, they worked their day job and they built this as a side hustle until they could actually see what it was that they, you know, were doing that was working and that they could like actually make a living at it. So I love that point. But the other point that I love is so often we are our own worst students. I mean, like, what I mean is we're out there teaching it, but it took you to take a hard look at yourself and say, am I walking the walk? You know what I mean? Am I following my own advice?
100%. And it's like, because we all fall victim to this. It's like, you know, you just start going down a path and it's mm-hmm. never like, you never make a conscious decision to end up where you end up, right? It's the sum of all these little decisions to where you ended up, right? And so like, I was just working my day job and not thinking twice about it. And I was doing the side hustle, not thinking twice about it. And then, you know, it was really when we just started seeing a lot more friction at home. It's like, what's going on? What's the disconnect here? And it's like, oh, I'm not living this. But it wasn't like intentional, right? It's just
right.
Every day you just kind of start going down this path and you have to ask yourself, you know, do I need to course correct? Am I on the right track? It happens.
Right. So back in the late 90s, I published a magazine. It was a success magazine. That's what it was called, Step into Success. And we did it just with four people, which is amazing. It was a 48-page magazine that came out and it had all kinds of interviews and articles and it was great. And we're just hustling. And then I went through a divorce and it was like, I just kind of like went through this spiral of rejection and oh my gosh. And so I was seeing this therapist. And so she had said, I'd love to read your magazine. And I said, oh, okay. So I brought her in like every one that had been published thus far. And so in one of our next sessions, I'm kind of whining and I'm like, oh, woe is me and blah, blah, blah. And she goes, you know what? Go home and read your own crap, honestly. And, and I was like, what? She said, you know, her daughter had been really, really sick. She was diabetic and she ended up getting really sick and was in this diabetic coma for a bit. And then she had to have surgery. And she said, I sat in those hospital like for all those hours and just sitting there at night. And I read every single one of those magazines you gave me and it inspired me and it got me through and it gave me hope and it gave me encouragement. And she said, I just honestly think you should probably go home and read your own stuff. And it was like a big, huge, I don't know, wake up call, slap in the face, but it instantly, it got me out of my funk. I left out of there and I was like, I need to be my own student. Like, you know what I mean? I need to follow my own advice. And it turned it around for me, as stupid as that sounds.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's hard because sometimes you get lost in your own business or your own thing. And it's hard sometimes to like step back and look at what's going on around you.
Yep. So what would you identify, Robert, as two of your greatest skill sets that have really helped you in owning your own business?
Yeah, I would say I've always considered myself to be highly organized and very good at time management. You know, I like to have everything planned out. I plan out my days, my weeks, systems around the organization and the time management as well. And, you know, I think that helped me. I think just having a day job and a side hustle and working at Target, I think also taught me a lot around both of these because, you know, it's a never ending business effectively, right? It's open, closed, there's people working overnight. And if you don't maintain a really good sense of time management and organization, like your days can get away from you and you can turn a, you know, 8-hour day into a 12-hour day without even thinking about it. And then that prevents you from doing other things you want because we're not all just employees. Even if you don't a side hustle or you don't have something else, you might have a hobby or some other kind of activity. And so for me, it's really about organization and time management as well.
That's great. So let's talk about an outstanding accomplishment, something that you've achieved that's super meaningful for you.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the biggest thing that's the most meaningful to me is just being able to be home with my wife and my kids, to take them to school, to pick them up, to be there for appointments, to not miss things. Like, that's the most important thing to me. The business is, I'm blessed to have it, but like that's cool, but like hopefully like being with my family, that's really what matters to me the most.
That's awesome. But I'm sure you've had a story of one of the students that you've really helped or something that stands out that, you know, it's kind of that what keeps you going, you know, so that it doesn't get mundane. Is there been something that is a standout that you're like, this is why I do what I do?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely been a few of those throughout my business career. I guess one of the ones that really stands out to me is, I think you might know this too as a business owner, is that it's sometimes hard to see the results because a lot of things, especially with money and personal finance and getting out of debt, takes years, right? Mm-hmm. And so one of the first courses I sold, this was probably like 7 years ago, you know, it didn't really do a lot. I sold maybe like a dozen and whatnot, but you know, I really engaged with my students, and one of the students like was doing really well, got an action plan to get out of student loan debt, like put it all together. And, you know, I didn't hear from him for like 2 years. But then like just reached out of the blue about like two and a half years later and was like, hey, I just wanted to check in and thank you. And I've executed the plan. I've been working on the plan and I'm making my final payments on my student loans. And it feels so good. And so those things are just always so meaningful to me because I think it's hard as business owners, especially online business owners, you don't always get to see the outcome. And, you know, you give them all the information, you try so hard and you put together a great course or program or service. And it's nice to see that because it takes time. So years later, someone reaching out and saying, thank you, this worked and I'm getting debt free.
Absolutely. So to the opposite of that, let's talk about a challenge or a situation that you faced in your business and how you worked through that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing for me is complacency. So I would say on the flip side, like I do get into these systems and routines. And so I fall into doing the same thing all the time. And I mean, we live in this digital age and in the internet. And so the biggest challenge I face is that how do you continue to innovate and create great content and be on the places where people are moving to so that you're not behind the curve, you're ahead of the curve. So, you know, I'm very vigilant on where the ball is going, but it's very hard because I just like to do my same thing all the time and just keep going, you know? So it's like getting out of your own comfort zone. Maybe that's video, maybe that's audio, maybe that's talking about topics that I might not have talked about before. But I have to always try. And so to me, it's always just how do you innovate while also just continuing your systems and routines and stuff that might have historically worked. But I would tell you, like every 2 to 3 years, they stop working. And maybe it's not you. Maybe it's the world's kind of changed, right?
Absolutely. I would say for sure, having been a business owner for 25 years and for many, many years, having routines, I'm very systematic as well, organized. And those routines worked. And that platform worked. And then we moved more to a digital platform. And everything you've just said is very difficult. But it has been, you can't get the same traction of what worked for me for 10 years with making very little tweaks works here a year or two. And then you are changing and you are moving. And it's accepting that, I think, as part of the game instead of going, oh, it's my challenge. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yep.
Not viewing it as the challenge, but viewing it as part of doing business, embracing it. And I struggle with that because it's happening so fast. And I think because I had so many years of being very successful in my routine.
Yeah. And it's hard. And I would say, like, I say, I don't know, every 2 to 3 years, you also get that reality check moment. Like, you know, you suddenly stop getting internet traffic or you stop getting downloads or no one's resonating with your content anymore. And you're like, what happened? And you have to really kind of assess and, you know, and figure out where the ball is going. And, you know, it's hard.
Yep. I agree. Is there something that you do that is helps you to be proactive in that or to stay ahead of the curve?
One of the things I've done is, you know, I've created I've joined a couple mastermind groups over the years. And I find that to be helpful, that peer-to-peer feedback, talking to others that are in maybe similar businesses or at least tangential businesses to just give a different idea, give different thoughts and ways of thinking about things that, you know, I just wouldn't have or experience in my own day-to-day life. And so for me over the last probably 7 years, that's been very huge is connecting with others.
Very good. So what's working from your happy place mean to you?
I mean, honestly, it's creating and focusing on the work I love. It means helping people with their finances, improving their money situation. But it also means balancing this work I love with the family I love, because that's so important to me. So I'm really big on helping others. I like to see people conquer their money issues, but I also just work for my family. Like, that's why I do what I do. Like, at the end of the day, like, I do need to provide a paycheck, right? And so that's exactly what I'm doing it. I'm doing it for my family. But it all works in like a circle, right? Like, if my family is struggling, then the work is struggling. So it's like, I got to really focus on that balance between working at and doing the work I love with helping people and spending time with the family I love. Because without one, I can't really have the other.
That's a really good definition. And I think it's so true. So true. So what advice would you give to others who are wanting to be an entrepreneur or are wanting to try their hand at something new or discover that they actually are good at something else? And you've been down this in a different path than maybe some others, but what advice would you give?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is just networking with other people. Network, get out there, meet people in your industry or your space, or whatever. Even if you're just like, you know, wanting to go do something, go meet with people that are doing it, talk to them, email them, engage with them, interact with them online. That's been the game changer for me. It's what propelled my business. When I first started this, I was kind of in like the dark in a bubble, and I didn't talk to anybody. And the first thing that really changed the game for me was online networking. I found, this was, you know, 8 years ago. So I found a forum and I started engaging with other bloggers on a forum and learning how to create great content. And I started connecting with people on social media. Twitter was just starting up and becoming more popular, and just sharing, engaging, interacting, helping. And those have all kind of changed the game. And then a few years after that, I went to a conference for the first time, and it was a little scary, but like engaging with other people face to face, networking, helping, that's been the biggest thing that has propelled my business forward. And I want to say, it's not networking for lead gen too. I feel like so many people, you hear networking, they say like, I network to find clients, and it's like, no, that's a terrible idea. Like, network means to like go learn, help other people, connect, just be there. Like, it's not about like getting clients for your business. It's about being helpful, being a student, just being present.
Right. I do think that people do get caught up in that whole networking for lead gen, and you can feel it when people are doing it. It's very disingenuous.
It is. And so, yeah, I would say networking is huge, but it's networking for the right reasons, to learn, to connect, to be helpful. That's what's changed the game for me. Every time I have the opportunity to, I try, and it's always resulted in positive things in the future.
Agreed. I do think it's about, I just did an article that I'm posting on LinkedIn on Wednesday about giving, about, because that's one of the five top contributing factors to overall happiness. And so it's really interesting, though, because in networking, when I talk to a lot of my friends, they're either in it to help, but then there's so many people that get in it to learn, but they're not contributing. And then the other people start to feel like it's got to be a give. You know what I mean? You've got to be willing to offer up information that is going to be helpful while at the same time you're taking that information that is helpful. And I think that when people can finally get into that mindset of the give situation, I think they get a better result out of networking.
Oh, totally. And yeah, I mean, you have to, it's all about that. You're giving back, and you're there. Someone's giving to you, and then you need to give back to others. And then that builds and it grows. I think the biggest thing, though, is I think a lot of people have this scarcity mindset, mm-hmm. At least, not a lot of people, but too many people do, I would say, where it's like, well, if I share, then they're going to compete after me and take my business and things like that. And mm-hmm. I think a better mindset to have is that rising tide rises all ships, right? Like, yep. There's so much out there and we're all just touching a tiny bit of it. And I can speak in the personal finance space. I mean, there's thousands of blogs and YouTubers and Instagrammers and all kinds of people that are talking about money. But then look at the financial situation of most Americans. So it's like, clearly we are all out here delivering a message, and so many people are still having a hard time. So it's not getting there. And so there's still so much opportunity out there to engage, help, and help other people and help each other as well. We're not like really engaging with the same people here.
Absolutely. So what are some new and exciting things that you're working on that you think our listeners will benefit from? And then I would love it if you can tell them where they can find you.
Yeah. So one of the things I've been working on is Loan Buddy, and you can find it at loanbuddy.us. And I've been trying to systematize my student loan help into a software product. And it's a freemium product. So you can find the best answer to your student loans for free at loanbuddy.us, enter all your information, and it'll tell you what you should be doing. And then there's some premium upsells as well. But that's been quite a project. I learned a lot about software, a lot about development. And so that's been my main gig beyond the College Investor for the last about year and a half. But otherwise, you can find me at thecollegeinvestor.com or on your favorite social media platform, College Investor Audio Show on podcast. However you want to ingest your content, we're there.
That is fantastic. Well, Robert, this has been absolutely delightful. I know there's so many little gold nuggets in here, and congratulations on your business. I think it's awesome that you're helping young people, especially, and others, but especially these young folks getting into this student debt situation and how to navigate it, and maybe how to navigate it before they even get themselves into it. So I applaud you on that. There's so many young people, and then it leads into their 30s and 40s. And like you've said, even sometimes retirement age, it's still a noose hanging over them. So I just want to thank you for that work, and thank you for being a guest on our show today.
Awesome. Well, thank you for having me. This has been so much fun.
Awesome. Well, I just want to remind everyone, thanks for listening. Thanks for showing up today. If you subscribe to our show, you will never miss a single episode, and you will always be in the know of really awesome entrepreneurs like Robert, who are giving such great advice on a variety of subjects. So please subscribe, and we always love reviews. So leave us a note on how you enjoyed the show, your takeaways, and make sure you visit Robert at his site and get the help that you need. So once again, thanks everyone for joining Work From Your Happy Place. And until next time, I hope you are living your best life working from your happy place.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.